Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
I want us to quickly go into our anchor scriptures. So as our custom is, let's read our anchor scriptures. Luke chapter 18 verse 1-8 is our first scripture we are going to read. Hallelujah. All right, so can we all look up? And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, least by her continual coming she will weary me. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Can we? And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he beareth long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Hallelujah. Second reading, same place, Luke chapter 11, 5-13. Luke 11, 5-13. Please, it is 10:5, right? Write it down for me, for record's sake. For today, we're going to have afternoon glory. We're going to have afternoon glory. Hallelujah. For record's sake. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Can you give me the NLT version of that word? It's a very powerful word. It is very important. Get it for me. I say unto you, are we, that is it, right? Okay. We are going to 13. Can we move on? And I say unto you, ask, it shall be what? Given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be what? Open unto you. For everyone that asks, receiveth. And he that seeketh what? Findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be what? Open. Let's hold it there. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8. We are all going to read it together, which I know all of us are very familiar with. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Church, together, let's go, huh? Ask, it shall be given you. Did he say unto you? No, please. Wait. Let's read. You know what I'm saying? Let's read. Let's go. Together. Ask, and shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be open unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asked, receiveth. Oh, are you reading with me? We are doing it together. Let's take it again. For everyone that asks, and he that seeketh, and he, to him that knocketh, it shall be what? Hallelujah. Today it pleases the Lord that in our course of understanding the rules of engagement, we will look at an aspect which I have titled My Father, My Friend, and the judge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, church, are you with me? Respond. Hallelujah. Amen. If I said the one who responded with a loud voice, I received $10,000. We would have shouted louder, right? Hallelujah. Amen. Don't let dollar motivate you to shout. Hallelujah. Amen. It's been a wonderful journey. So now, in our next phase of understanding the concept of prayer, while we are believing God to help us to understand prayer and teach us to pray, we have come to a point where I call it the rules of engagement. And last week, we started to examine the rules of engagement. The rules by which we engage God. That is simple, the word simple. The rules by which we engage God. And we started with all kinds of what? Prayer. And last week, if you followed, you find out that we are not trying to set rules by which prayer should be observed, but we are actually trying to examine from scripture point things that needs to be done to be efficient and effective and have full benefit of what we call prayer. Are we there? Are we there? So all these things that we are studying is not rules and regulation. They are just scope of operation by which we can be effective and efficient in prayer. Hallelujah. There are no rules and regulations in cooking jollof, but there are certain observations that when you observe them, you follow those principles, your jollof will be different from other jollof. Francisca, true of us. Hallelujah. So what we are doing here, I'm not setting rules that if you do A, you get B. No. We are looking at the scope by which we can benefit from what we are doing. Today, I want to look at my father, my friend, and the judge. And actually, what we are going to talk about are the three levels of what? Prayer. Three levels of what? Prayer. Prayer has levels. And these levels of prayer was the second thing that Jesus exposed to us in his teaching. Hallelujah. So you find that there are three levels according to the teachings of Jesus that he taught us in terms of prayer. When we want to observe prayer, there are three levels. The first level was captured in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8. We saw that in that level, he mentioned three things. We can look at it from there. He said, the ask level. He said, he that asks shall receive. Is that not it? Good. So to ask is different from to what? To seek. The second level is what? The seek level. He said, he that seeks shall find. Is that not it? So they are not the same. So when you ask, you what? Receive. When you seek, you what? You find. And the last one level is what we call what? The knock level. And the knock level, he said, he that knock, it shall be what? Opened unto him. So I gave out these scriptures, Luke chapter 11, verse 2 to 13. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8, gives the scope of these three levels of prayer. Hallelujah. Now, why is these three levels of prayer important? These three levels of prayer define the way in which we approach God. Hallelujah. You know, God is God, but anytime we approach God at any given instant, he has a way he presented himself, or there is a way you must see him in the aspect of approaching God. Hallelujah. Elder Prince, come, let me use as an example. As you are here, okay, I think Prophet Jericho will be the best option. Orifo, please come. Let me use as an example. So follow what I'm going to do. I said the levels of prayer defines how we approach God. And anytime we approach God, we have to understand that God has a way, there's a way we have to see him in the matter of we approaching him. So we know this man here, right? On Sunday, when you approach him, you don't approach him as a lawyer, true or false? But as he stands here, his name is Jericho Hinijain. But when you approach him, you can approach him in three ways. I'm going to show you right now. Number one, you can approach him by his profession as what? A lawyer. Now, when you come to him as his profession as a lawyer, you cannot be discussing thou seest the Lord. What we are going to talk about, according to the Constitution of Ghana, Article 1, Clause 2. Is that not it, Prophet? We are very fine. Number two, you can approach him as a prophet. At that place, you're not going to say, no, what is the Lord saying? Now, at that point, you are here to seek the counsel of God. At that point, he ceases to be a lawyer by approach. Is that okay? But there is somebody here who approached him in a third dimension. Nice. To the glory of God. Hallelujah. Let's appreciate our prophets. Prophets, today I decided to disturb you. Forgive me. So, whenever we are praying, at every instant, when we approach God in prayer, he represents a dimension. through Acts. And it is in this three level of prayer we are able to what? Determine these dimensions of what? God. So when we talk about the levels of prayer give us an idea of who God becomes to us in an instant of prayer. Are we on the same page? And therefore, we want to understand these instances and how God is being approached, or in how God is being approached. Now, you find out that if you approach him as a lawyer, I'm going to talk about something. Okay, let me go there. Now, in these three levels of prayer, whenever we approach God, there are three factors that influences our approach. Three factors. Number one, when we approach God in prayers, there are three key things which defines the level of prayer which we are engaging God at the time. Three things. Number one, the posture in prayer. Our posture in prayer. The posture in prayer that you assume can define how you are approaching God and the kind of level you are engaging God. Is he on the professional level of him, or in his ministerial level, or as a brother? Using Prophet Jericho as an example. Are we there? Number two, the place of the word in prayer. In what way do you use, or how is the appearance of the word of God, or how is the word of God used in that instant of that prayer, can also define the level or how we approach God. And the third one is the language in prayer. The language. Are you there? Are we there? Good. So these three things determines which approach you have to approach God and which level you are dealing with him. Are we on the same page? And that's what we're going to examine today. I hope you are following. I can see you are paying attention. Now, let's move in. Number one, I hope you understand the word posture. If you don't understand, you are permitted to Google and find the meaning or get your dictionary. Hallelujah. I've decided not to be doing the work of what Google can do. Hallelujah. Let me do what Google cannot do. Amen. Amen. Do you agree with me? Yeah, good. So the first approach we approach the Father in terms of a prayer level is what we call approaching him as a father. Approaching God as a father. Whenever we approach God as a father, we are approaching him on the level of asking. In that level of asking, it is father and son or daughter level. Whenever we approach God, the first level we have, or one of the levels, I don't use the word first level. The level, one of the level which we approach God is the level of asking. At that level, when we approach him on the basis of what? A father. Now the question is, what is the posture we need to assume when we approach him this way? Most times when we approach God as a father, the reason why our prayers are not met, the reason why we don't benefit from that kind of approach or that kind of level is, number one, it could be our posture. So what is the posture by which we should approach God on the level of fatherhood, or in the level of what? Action. Number one, it requires a childlike appearance, but not a childish appearance. The childlike posture talks about how children perceive that their fathers, when coming before them, how children perceive their fathers when coming before them in making what? Request. Whenever you approach God on the level of acts, you come like a child, childlike, but not childish. And what I mean is that there is a way children perceive their parent or their father, especially whenever they are approaching them to make a request. If you want to approach God on the acts level, that is the kind of posture you have to assume. Matthew chapter 6 verse 31. You see, you are picturing it. You know, when we were young, we used to tell our colleagues that my daddy can buy Kumasi. Haven't you proposed to a girl and told her that your father will buy the sea for you? When you approach God on that base of, I'm going to explain it so that we follow. Posture is very important. Most of what people are praying, they approach God, they don't know that you have to come before him as a father. You have to come before him like a child. That is the way which we receive from him in the level of action, a childlike, not childish. Therefore, take no thought. Watch. When children are approaching their father, look at how they do. What do they do? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we what? Drink? Or what without shall we be what? clothed. Verse 32. For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, do what? Knoweth that you have need of all these things. When children are approaching their father, they don't think whether the father can provide or not. It is not their worry at all. That is why they can embarrass you in public. There was a video recently I watched that the father went with the daughter to a mall. Then he covered her eyes and ran through a particular lane because there was a doll over there. And the man checked his pocket. You see, the child does not care about the level of his father's pocket. He takes no thought of what he's going to. No. The thing is because he knows that the father is capable. Many believers come to God and their posture is irradiating. Are we there? This is one thing about children. They believe that the father can give them whatever they want. An absolute trust and confidence. So when they come to the father, it is not about. So that is why if they go to town, you do something, say, I will tell my father. Do you know why? They have an absolute trust and confidence that the father can deal with it. Irrespective of who you are. As you sit here, even in this your age, when you are approaching your father for something, you don't even take thought. True of us. Francisca can answer that question. She makes demands like the father. She's the only reason why the father was created in this world. Sometimes when you are even calling, you don't even care whether he's busy. Sometimes when he's in office, you don't care whether. You see, there was a story about one president of America who was at a cabinet meeting. Serious cabinet meeting, taking serious decision. Then the son walking, and when they try to stop him, do you know what he told them? To you is your president, to me is my father. So you people need protocols to approach me. I'm coming without any thought. I pray for you. Sometimes our posture is the reason why the things we come to see. Last week we said that certain things only God can give you. If you don't come in a childlike manner, you will not get them. Don't come like an adult who is here to not see, come, don't care. So in the book of Philippians chapter 4, I love this scripture very well. Verse 19, listen to what he said. But my God shall supply what? Is it Psalm? Oh, church, is it Psalm? All your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I pray for you. Anytime you approach God, the first posture you assume is that there is no need of your life he can ever supply. Don't come with doubt. Don't come with fear. Jesus said, take no thoughts. It's a serious word. So when you are approaching your father, take no thought. Take no thought. Because this thing, do you know why he said take no thought? Because every father knows what their children need. Every father knows. No father is ignorant of the needs of the child. So it is so funny. You approach God and you think that he doesn't know what you need. I pray for you that you will not approach God on this kind of funny. You know, a lot of believers, I'm serious though. Your thought has been the reason why many of your prayers have not been answered. You come and you compare your father to the government of Ghana, a spiritual father, thinking that you need to do a whole. See, that is why when you come, see, you know, child, one thing about children are like when they approach their father is that they are not there to impress, they are there to collect what belongs to them. So it is not because he swept the house yesterday, that is why he's coming to you. He is coming because you are the father and it is obligatory on you to provide. Some of you think it's your righteousness that will make God give you what you want. That's why when you are coming, one of the things is that you begin to think, hey, yesterday I insulted that man. I'm going to God to ask for my daily bread. Hey, I'm not correct. I'm not fine. I have to come and fix myself. That is a childish act, not childlike. Come as you are. Your demand, not your demand, your request before the Father is not on the premise of whether you're a good child or a bad child. It's on the premise of He being your Father. That is all. So posture is very important. Posture. Second, it is the type of prayer where we are more thankful to our Father than we speaking more about our request, because we know it is already done. When we approach God in this kind of prayer, one of the posture we should assume is a thankful posture. Reduce the request and be thankful. Do you know that parents are easily exploited by children who are very thankful? Oh, daddy, thank you for what you gave me yesterday. Daddy, it was not enough. Okay, so, oh, daddy, you are just a loving father, you know. And especially when they are girls, they know where to touch. They will start from the oil that flows from the head of Aaron, through the beard, even onto the garment. There, he commanded the blessing. They are very prophetic. The girls, when they come to their father, you see, she knows what I'm talking about. They are very thankful. Oh, daddy, thank you. Daddy, thank you for yesterday. You know, and then, see, from the head. You remember all the scriptures said, the oil is poured upon the head. It flows into the beard, then into the garment. Thankful. You always come before God complaining. What he did for you yesterday, do you thank him? It is the posture of thankfulness. When we approach Father in the acts level, we are efficient in prayer. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible said that we should not be anxious of anything. Why? Because our Father is capable of everything. That is one of the things you should not do when you're approaching Father. There's no need to be anxious. If you know that, if you see a believer anxious, it means that he doesn't know the capabilities of a Father. You have trust issues with God. You have trust issues with God. So the Bible says we should not be what? Anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication. With what? With what? So there is no supplication and prayer that will work without thanksgiving. This is a prayer that is a wait. So that thanksgiving is a posture. So you come with that posture for supplication. You come with that posture for what? Prayers. He said, and out of that God will answer. Be thankful. Always assume the posture of thankfulness. When you approach God on that level, you should be thankful. So when we open up our mouth and we want to go to God for a request, you always come with thankfulness. Somebody, when you open the mouth, because of the pressure on the person, he forgets that God gave him life to wake up today. Let your thanks be more than your request. Check the life of Jesus. How did he multiply the bread? Church, how did he multiply it? How was Lazarus brought back from dead? Thanksgiving is a weapon. It melts God's heart. See how men are so... Sometimes, whatever you try on men, it works. Try it on God. You see how men can become so easy. Not manipulated, but you can assess people by being thankful. There are some people, if they call me at 1 a.m., I'll pick. They have a way of getting me. When you do things for them, you take people for granted. You take everything for granted. Jesus said, weren't there how many? Nine. Weren't there 10? Who were here? Where are the what? Nine. You think thankfulness is not appreciation? God does not care about it. Jesus question, weren't there 10? The reason why this request is not coming, because the last request, we didn't come and thank him. You are always demanding without appreciating when God meets your mind. So said you should come with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving is a posture. Even the way you stand before God, the way you start talking, is an evidence that you are thankful. He didn't give you visa, so what? Didn't you graduate from SHS? How many people went to school with you in that year? How many graduated? He didn't give you a job, so what? You are only concerned about your current issue, but you've forgotten that it was him. How did David prevail over Goliath? He remembered. The posture of thankfulness is an act of being a person who remembers things. If you are thankful, the reason why you are thankful is because you are somebody who remembers. People who easily forget are not thankful. So when I'm talking about approaching God in the state of thankfulness, I'm talking about you are a person of remembrance. In the father-like nature, you must always come to God with a remembrance of what he has done for you. David said, when I was a little man on the desert dealing with lions and bears, he delivered me. That same God, he remembered. Check the life of David, always thanking God. So they said, Papa mo, boni mo. In everything, give thank always. I pray for you. See, these are things that affect our prayer life, but we think it doesn't. We take it lightly. We come to God. Oh, la ba 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 ba, la la la. How you going to celebrate? I bring my education before you. The GHS certificate, did you thank him enough? See this ungrateful being. He's coming for another request. See this ungrateful being. Hey, skip next. Attend to the next man. That's how they've been doing to your prayer request in heaven. No? I say mercy. Hallelujah. You see, some of these things you have to laugh over it. That's, see this ungrateful one. Don't mind him. What is he asking? Oh, give it to the next person. He doesn't even give it to the next person. This is ungrateful. You're not coming to thank us. Give it to that guy. Add it to his own. So you find that somebody didn't, the prayer request you prayed will be given to another person who didn't even pray for it. I have not seen some before. I don't know. Some of us have received people's prayer request, which we didn't pray, but we were there and we were thanking God and God gave it to us. Be thankful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another posture, which is the last thing I want to talk about, the posture over here, is a posture of zero doubt. How do you know that is zero doubt? Repetition. This is the kind of prayer Jesus said, don't be repeating yourself like the Republicans. Do you know something? When you come before a person to make a request and you keep repeating that request, do you know what you are trying to say? First of all, you don't trust the person, because the person can easily forget. See, when you come before God and you keep reminding God of something, what you're trying to say, God, you are a forgetful person. Number two, you have trust issues with him. So you have to keep reminding him. I don't know if you are with me. I'm not saying, so what do we do? Thank God for already doing it. See, this is one thing I've learned and I do it. When I go to God and I say, Father, I bring this before you. The rest of my prayers, until that thing comes, is thanks. Father, thank you that you have done it. Case closed. Some of you, morning, Lord, the visa. Evening, Lord, that visa we spoke about. Hey, so God, won't you do it? Do it and share my enemies. Go and ask Hannah how long it took her to be repetitive and God didn't mind her until she learned the lesson. Zero doubt. Jesus said that don't be like the Republican who come before God and they repeat their words. Keep repeating. It was about this posture of prayer, axe level. God is not deaf. He heard you when you spoke once. Sometimes the time was not right. All you need to do from there on is what? Thank him. Whether you have received it or not, thank him. Do you know why you're thanking him? Because you know you will do it. It's not beyond him. It is not beyond him. Is there anything too hard for him? No. So as long as you have asked him, you are confident that your request is what? Granted, it's just a matter of what? Time. Stop the repetition. God is not deaf. He hears you clear. Because you think you are like God. That's why. How many times have people repeated things that you have not done for them? Sometimes it is because of the way we are. That's how we used to approve. We think God is like us. God is not like you. Tell your friend, God is not like you. So when you go with, when you go before him with your request, are you listening to me? And this is the act. We are going to talk about those types of prayers, but now we are looking at the levels of when you approach God on the ask level. Know that the moment you ask him, say, ask, it shall be given. It is done. Because he gives liberally without. Are you being blessed? Are you being blessed? Now, the second thing that is very important in the approach or in the level of prayer that we are looking at, which is the Father level, is the place of the Word of God. There is not any form of prayer you offer where the Word of God is not needed over there. Any form of prayer that does not regard the place of the Word of God is a fruitless act. So the Word of God has a role. When we approach our Father in prayer, what is the role of the Word of God? How do we use the Word of God? What is the place of the Word of God? Number one, the most important role the Word of God plays is to put God to remembrance what he has said concerning the matter. Concerning the matter you have brought before him, find in scriptures what he said about it. If it is your school fees, provisions, in scriptures, where can we find it and remind him that, my Father, this is what you said. Sometimes it is a dream he gave you. Sometimes it's a prophecy. Sometimes it's a vision. When you go, you remind him of that vision. You remind him of that prophecy. Remind him of the word. This is what the word said. That is the role of the Word of God in that place. Whenever you approach God on the ask level, you always have to go with the Word as a tool of what? Remembrance. You remind him of his Word. Remind him of his Word is not because he has forgotten his Word, but you are telling him that you are coming based on what he has said, not because of what you have what? Said. And the Bible said, he shall watch over his Word and shall what? Perform. So the role of the Word of God in approaching our Father in the ask level is that it brings to remembrance the things he has said concerning the matter. Every matter in your life here, there is a solution in scripture. Find it. Yes, find it. That's what the Bible said. It is the glory of what? Kings to what? Yeah, to discover. But it is what? The pleasure of God to what? Hide things for, not from. Every situation you find yourself, anything that you need God to come in for you, that is only God that can do for you. That issue, there is a solution in the Word of God. There is a revelation there. Search it. I said you should do what? Search it. Number two, the Word of God here also define the boundaries by which we can make a request. Whatever we want to ask, the ask level, the Word of God, the role of the Word of God here also serves as the boundary. The Bible said that you ask amiss. That word amiss means that beyond what? Boundaries. Out of what? Boundaries. You know, no matter how your Father loves you, it's not everything you ask him, he will give you. If you ask within what you can handle, he will give you. Do you agree with me? Henry, if your Father is so rich, he has a lot of money, do you think if you go to him and ask him for $1 million, now he'll give it to you? Is it because he doesn't love you? You are operating out of what? Boundary. Because if he gives you $1 million, the question is, do you have the capacity to handle it? Many Christians, you think that your desire is God's desire. No. If you want God to do something for you, find it in his desires. Case closed. That is the Word of God. Many people approach God in prayer and they bring their desire before God. And if you check where their desire is standing and where the desire of God is also standing, they have no any relationship. Can I give you a typical example? I've shared this thing before. Where a young lady approached me doing sleepover with a guy. Approached me. That the guy is cheating on her and that I, pastor, I should pray. I should help her in prayer that the guy will stop cheating on her. You are fornicating. And you want to bring that desire of fornication before God. And ask God that God should help you in your fornication. Another person also called me. Actually, this one, the person was outside. And she wanted papers. And that she has found a guy who she's not interested in to marry. But she wants to find a way to lie to the guy. Then they'll get married. Then after 1 year, she will divorce the guy. And she contacted me, Pastor. Can you help me with this? Would God do this? But you know, the gullible ones who the mind of God are looking for their money to chop and spend, will tell that, oh, this one, yes, 20,000 Ghana cedis will deal with the matter. God will deal with it for you. Yes, bribe God and change God's mind. Today, I knew today this is going to happen. You are going to laugh. Me, myself, when I was doing this thing, some of the things are funny. They are not operating within the premises of scriptures. The place of the word of God is to define the boundaries by which you can ask. What you are asking, is it within scriptures? Is it within the boundaries of the word of God? The Bible says you ask for your own desire, and that's why you ask amiss. God will never give anything that does not meet his desires. Some of you, your prayer is that God should answer so that you should shame somebody. God will not answer that kind of prayer. God is not in a disgracing business. Or you think that God will do it for somebody, especially you, the guys, the lady that bounced you. You want God to bless you, so buy Benz. And you show her, say, yes, you bounced me. So for some bones, you go. God will not answer that kind of desire. To what purpose would that Benz fulfill the will of God? To what purpose would that Benz fulfill the advancement of the kingdom of God? So you see why most of us, we approach God in prayer and we are not getting anything. Because number one, our posture is wrong. Number two, the place of the word of God is neglected. Anytime you are going to God as a father to ask of anything from him, find out you are working within what? Boundaries. How do you know you are working within boundaries? When that desire is to advance the kingdom purposes, at the end of the day, it projects the goodness of God in your life. Every blessing of God is to make people glorify God. Every blessing of God on your life is meant to make people to glorify God, not you. You are not the center of attraction. So God will not bless you financially for him to lose you. You will not do that. Some of you, the reason why God cannot give you promotion is because when you are promoted, the demons in you walk up. You think you are holy. You think you cannot do the which word shall I even use? You think you cannot line up people's daughter and use them as a way of getting them a job? You think you are above that? Wait until money can finance your sin, your evil desire. Then you know you are strong or you are not strong. When money can finance your desires, then you know whether you are out strong or not. Some of you, God is not answering your prayers. He has not asked you to travel, because if you leave Ghana right now, that will be the last time you see your church. Prophet of God, it's true. When God answered that prayer, that school scholarship you are praying for, if God give you that scholarship, that will be the last time he will see you. Think God doesn't know your heart. Men look at the outward. As for me, you can lie to me. God, before you even think, he has already thought. I pray for you. You see, it sounds funny, but this is the reason why we pray. We go to God as a father, and it seems like he's a wicked father. Many Christians sound like God is a wicked father. That, you see, it breaks my heart when I hear believers talking as if God is very wicked. God is so wicked that he would deny his children what they deserve. It is not God, it is the children. Their posture, their respect for the word of God in prayer. You can't break the Bible. He that transgress, he that breaks the rule. You make your way, your life hard. When God looks at you, the desire you have in your heart, the word of God has not taken over it. You are not seeking for that scholarship to go there and be a tool of change. That in that lecture hall,
whoever sits behind you will know that there is Christ. You have no any mindset of kingdom advancement. You just want to go. That is the last day we will see you at church. You see, I'm talking about, there are evidences. Even those who are so anointed now, we can't find them. Now they are even arguing and challenging the basis of scriptures. Do you know funny thing? Can I tell you something? People don't understand this, and let me teach you. How many of you have listened to the message I preached on miracle signs and wonders? Let me set some records straight over here. Do you know why you have to pray for admission even in Ghana? Because laws don't work. Miracles are only necessary when laws are not in function. When laws are in function, God does not like to interfere with laws. Because he set the laws, he set the preeminences, he put them in place that they should govern this time realm. So where laws are respected, hardly do God intervene, because he knows that by law people will behave right. So when you go to America, you don't need to pay bribe to get what you have to get. When you come to Ghana here, are you with me? If you are in this kind of condition, you need prayer every day, God to intervene every day for you. But when you go to America, it will not be so. Because when you're looking for a job, you don't pay 30,000 Ghana cedis to get a job, to serve the government. I saw a video of a Ghanaian showing how the U.S. Army came around, the military came around, and they were begging them to even recruit them to military. And he was comparing it to Ghana. Can it be so, man of God, can it be so in Ghana like that? No. So you need a miracle. A miracle is that God will suspend all laws and intervene for you. But when you go to America, God will not do that for you. So when you get to America, it is very easy to think that prayer is irrelevant, because you have been living on miracle in Ghana. The miracle will reduce, because the day that they stepped their feet on the land where they were produced, manna ceased. The day they stepped their feet on the land where they were produced, manna ceased. That is how God works. Miracle is not to be abused. So in Ghana here, you see, you and I, we need miracle. Every day you have to believe God for miracle. The drivers that are driving, you have to believe. You see, they had low levels. Jesus. In America, the driver is very sound, because the listing you do, ticket is waiting for him in the house. Ghana here, even where else the police are there, red, he's gone. You don't pray for miracle of preservation, they'll waste you. You don't need that in UK. Because the driver will drive sound. So it is easy to go there and think that the prayers we have been praying here are useless. We are wasting our time. We pray more. It's because of the situation here. That's why we have to pray more. Are you being blessed? The situation here demands that we pray more. You believe God for even everything. It should be a miracle. Because the system is such that it doesn't follow. Even the sun right now, it comes at 8 a.m. So hard. Even the ordinances are trying to come against us. You will not pray for preservation. Are you being blessed today? So you see, when God examines your heart, he knows that you, as you sit here, if you get that American scholarship, the last time you see you is in heaven. It is in heaven. I said, hey, my son. Jesus. My son. You are dusty. Because the only thing that will be left with you is your salvation. Because you have not denied Christ yet. But the rest, I pray for you, that you will work within the parameters of scriptures. That your desire will be his desire. That when you go before God as a father, asking of something from him, he will give you, because you meet the requirement of scriptures. Finally, the language. I will not go deeper here because of time factor. We have two more to look at. The language required when we approach God as a father is, number one, we should be straightforward. 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 Daddy, I need this. Don't come and explain yourself. You don't need to write theses to convince God. on the premises of being your father is enough. It's the difference between asking a loan from your father and asking a loan from the bank. Bank, you come with guarantees and everything. Daddy, I need money to do something and I'll pay back. You know very well you're not going to pay back. He knows you'll not pay back. He'll give it to you. Straightforward. Number two, come with the language of gratitude and appreciation. Anytime you come before God to ask anything, thank Him first. Even thank Him that He's going to do it before you even say it. Do you know sometimes how we do it to mommy? Oh, I know daddy, this is why you can do it. The Nigerians, they have a way they give accolades to their husbands when they want to take money. They'll give you all kinds of names. Prince of Peace. The ruler of whatever. My whatever. By the time you realize, oh, what is it that you cannot do? You are not God, but they'll make you feel like you are God. By the time they are done with the accolades, if it's whatever you need, if it's your ATM card, you release it. Come, that should be your language. Come to God on the ground of what? Appreciation. Hallelujah. Number two, the next level we can meet God in prayer is approaching God as a friend. So we have looked at the aspect of a father. We are going to look at types of prayers that falls within that aspect as time goes on. But I'm telling to tell you that when we approach God, we can approach Him as a father at an instant, and we can also approach Him as a friend. Now, this involves approaching God as a friend. This involves negotiations, number one, reasoning together with God, and sharing in the secret of God. When you approach God as a friend, this time it's not like father-son issue now. This one, you approach Him as somebody you are there to share secrets with. Somebody you are there to reason with Him. Are we there? Somebody you are there to make negotiations with Him. So sometimes your father can be your partner in business. In this approach, the focus is not on us, but mostly about others. In account of Luke chapter, let's go back there. Luke 11, right? I want to be sure. Luke 11, right? Good. Luke 11. You find out that Jesus, if you read from the beginning, Luke 11, verse 2, you find out Jesus was teaching about prayer. Have you found the word I asked you should get from me in the passion? Jesus was teaching them about prayer. Have you seen it? And He said unto them, when ye pray, say our Father everything. Now move to the verse 5. Now at this point, you see, He gave the model of prayer over here. But into which context was this model talking about? He said, when a friend, when He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? Are you following? And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Why are you asking from the friend? Why are you into negotiation with him? Why are you engaging your friend? Move on. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me. So when we approach God as a friend, it is for another friend. One type of prayer we pray over that we are going to do it is the prayer of intercession. At this point, you are not here like a child, like, no, this one, it is negotiations, reasoning with him, and sharing secrets with him. Are we there? Can you find out it for me? What is in here? Can you get your microphone? Yeah, read it in the NLT for me. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? So when we get into this dimension of prayer, when you want to approach God, and we're going to look at this type of prayers, but whenever you are praying and it has nothing to do with you, it has to do with somebody else, then you have to know that at this point you can't approach God on the basis of a father. Even though it can be a supplication you are making, that supplication will not take the likeness of you. Come there. Let's go.
Luke chapter 11 verse 8.
Uh-huh.
But I tell you this,
uh-huh,
though he won't do it for friendship's sake,
uh-huh,
if you keep knocking long enough,
uh-huh,
he will give up. He will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless person.
You see that when it comes to friends, we are shameless. That's the word I wanted to Say, because of your shameless or persistence. There are things that we can't come to the Father and say them. But there are things that, friends, we have no shame. If you want to see somebody's shame, if you want to see that somebody's not the shameless nature of somebody, bring their best friend around. Lead them for just 1 minute. It will come out. That place we reason, we share secret. That's the point. Like, shameless means that there is nothing to hide. There is nothing to what? At that point, God has nothing to hide from you. You don't have nothing to hide. Most times we do this for people. We are not. It's not for you. For what? Others. What is the posture? Number one. When you approach God as a person who is trying to reach him as a friend, you must come on the basis of love and compassion for people and the will of God to be done in their lives. Never make any form of prayer in terms of approaching God as a friend when you don't have love and compassion for people. It will not work. It is our love and compassion we have for people that move God to do things for them. Sometimes in ministering healing to people, it is not because of the anointing. No. Can I give you an example in scriptures? Because of time, Father, I've reduced some of these things. Do you remember a woman called Tabitha? When she died, they called Peter from his journey and said, "Peter, as for this one, we are refusing her death." Are you with me? Because if she lives now, some of us, after they were done with everything, the Bible said Peter was moved. That was all. That was all. And that compassion that moved Peter. If you can't love people, if you cannot live by the one another principle, you can't be an intercessor. Many people will say that we are interceding for the nation, a nation that you criticize and you don't love. Yeah, we are getting there as Christians, so we are becoming part of the world. Well, we speak so ill about Ghana that we are even happy Ghana is collapsing. The fact that it is, see, love is not because it is fine with you. Love is compulsory. Whether it is good or bad, it is what? Now, even God loved you in your shameless life. When you were so evil and wicked and the things you have done to him, he always says, so for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love has no condition. You want to intercede for Ghana, but you are the number one person who speaks ill of the country. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't speak. When you speak about Ghana, it should be out of love, not out of bitterness and pain. It is out of that your prayer. That is why we are having a lot of intercessory ministries and still things are not going well with the country. You are praying for that brother, you are praying for that sister that God will touch him or touch her, but it is not from the heart. Some of you are reaching out to souls when it is not out of love. It is out of your own gain. As for the soul, it belongs to God. I will not make the rest of the statement. This is a coded term between my brother and I. As for the soul, it is for God. But the body, God has no need of it now. So we would make use of it. So you dupe them. If opposite sex, you benefit from the salvation package. You didn't go out to reach out on compassion and love. Because love does not keep records of wrong. Love does not rejoice in evil. So when we approach God on this thing, one of the things we need is that we have to come. The posture, when you are standing there, God is saying, "Ah, does he have love? Does he have compassion? What is making him to do this?" It is compassion and love. Don't make intercession for anybody or any nation when you don't have love for them. And you have no compassion. The reason when I wake up, I pray for Ghana, is out of love. Because I love my country. I have nowhere going. Whether I like it or not, I have to pray for Nanado. Whether I like him or not. Yes, I have to love him. Because if I don't love him, my prayer will not work. And if I don't pray for him, there will not be peace in my life. According to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Second posture. You must come in the posture of an advocate. Somebody who seek the interest of another person or speak for another person. And you have to be an advocate, you have to ask. Prof, he will tell you. You have to be very learned. You must know what you are talking about. You must know why you are standing in that capacity. It's not everybody you ask them to pray for you, because they don't have the intelligence to go to God to speak for you. Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, Peter, the devil sought you." And the description, whenever I read that scripture, I get scared. To sift you. Oh, who? Have you sifted a granite before? To make sure that there's nothing left on you except. Some people have been sifted by the devil. Their money, their glory, everything. Is it when you see somebody rise to a level and within a space of it, or within something happened and everything is gone? That is what we call it. You are being sifted. But Jesus said, "I prayed for you that your faith." You must be an advocate, somebody who have an intelligence and able to speak in that matter. And I'm going to show you three good advocates, human advocates in the Bible. Moses, Daniel, and Abraham. What they did in this aspect of approaching a friend. Do you know that it is Abraham God called him a friend? Are you there? Are you there? Are you with me? So our posture here is that we are coming as somebody who has the intelligent knowledge and able to what? Negotiate on the matter at hand and come to God to negotiate. Hallelujah. So this is the place where the message of reconciliation have effect. Able to reconcile. It is a friend that is able to give you another friend. That is why it is this prayer that we pray souls out. Some of you have never prayed to win a soul before. Have you won soul through prayer before? If you are going to achieve that, you must come on the base of a friend. Bringing a friend to another friend. God is your friend. Reconciliation. The Bible says he has given us the message of what? Reconciliation. The way we are able to execute it in prayer is when we approach God as a friend. We pray. Lift up our voice and pray for this person. That Lord will reach him. It's a friend, our brother, our family, somebody we know. We are bringing him to our friend Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? So this is the posture we assume. So if you can't love the person, don't pray for the person. Are we there? Hello? You see why the Bible said that we should love? You see why love is compulsory? Are you there? Oh, church, I can't. Are we together? Because if we can't love, we can't approach God as a friend. We can't. If we can't have compassion for people, we can't approach God as a friend. All we can do is to approach him as a father. But on the basis of friends, and you find out that our life will not be balanced. Because in the teaching of Apostle Paul, there were three key prayer topics he said everybody must have mastery of. Number one, one of it was what? Intercession. Which is approaching God as a friend. Under the level of prayer, that one of the type we pray over there is what? Intercession. He said, for all people. So if you don't love people, you can't pray for them. Don't hate a Muslim. Love them. Do good to them. Don't hate a Buddhist. Don't hate somebody because he speaks ill of your religion. Don't hate somebody because the person hates you. It will affect your prayer life. You are the one who will be at loss, not the person. All forgiveness. This is where it has its root. Your prayer, you will not be effective in prayer because you don't have love. That's why the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. I pray that you will always walk in love. I pray that love will be the number one thing that will be identified with you. Now, the place of the word of God over here, it serves as a tool of remembrance on these three things. Wait, listen to me very well. When you are approaching God in dealing with him as a friend to a friend, the place of the word of God is number one. You remember God of his covenant concerning the situation. Number two, his promises. Number three, his provisions. Number four, his love and intention restores humanity. We have to search scriptures and find what covenant can we
So sometimes when we are evangelizing, we are praying for people, we stand on the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. Are we there? Okay, let me give you examples. Number one, Abraham. Genesis chapter 18, verse 24 to 26, quickly. I want to rush through this one and we go. We found out that Abraham was speaking to God like a friend was speaking to a friend. Genesis chapter 18, verse 24. Let's find out what Abraham said to God. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are there in? Now, listen to what he said in verse 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So you see, that's what I'm talking about. You have to have the intelligence of how to get God. See how Abraham cornered God? That he is a judge who does the right thing. And one of his intentions to humanity. So you see that he was talking about God's intentions towards humanity. Is that the righteous shall never be slain without the wicked. So I can stand on this and pray that should there be any kind of attack that the enemy will release in a territory on your family, is God not a judge who will not slay the righteous? Now let's listen to God in verse 26. God said, Abraham, listen to what he said. You see, God, Abraham knew his friend very well. He said, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the places for their heart. This was the basis he negotiated to number 10. Is God not the right God, a judge who will judge what? Who will do the right thing? Because it is not in the nature of God to destroy the righteous with the wicked. This is somebody approaching a friend by heart, being shameless. Number 2, Moses. Exodus chapter 32, verse 11 to 13. When God was angry and wanted to finish them, Moses also used what we call the word of God on the basis of what? Covenant, on God's own word. Exodus chapter 32, verse 11. Let's listen to what Moses said. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why do thou wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of what? Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Verse 12. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them for the face of their earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Verse 13. Remember Abraham. Now you see it. Why will God turn away from his fierce wrath and not do such a thing against them? Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Thy servants to whom thou swear, that is covenant, by thy own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Now Moses had a reason to tell God what? Not to touch the people of Israel. That was an intercessor. And this was on the basis of what? Covenant. In other words, I can stand on the covenant of Christ to make sure that you are not touched, even if God permits it. So you cannot intercede for people when you don't know the place of the word and how to navigate the word. You must find the promises of God. You must find the covenants God hold on. You must find God's intention for humanity and use it as a way to approach God. Quickly, let's read the verse. Let's move on. The next verse. Verse 14, what did the Bible say? What happened? And the Lord repented of the evil. I pray for you. You see, everybody needs an intercessor, an advocate. At every point of life, we need at least an intercessor or an advocate who can stand and speak our matter, reason with God, and negotiate with God to make sure that we are on the outside of what? Victory. Some of you are here alive because your mom has been praying some prayers on some basis that has kept you. A third person was Daniel.
He held God to the promises of what he made to the people of Israel. Daniel chapter 9 verse 1 to 3 quickly. Oh wow, thank you Lord. Are you being blessed? So on this level, we approach God to reason with him, to negotiate with him, to share deep secrets with him. And in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years which the Lord of which the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God. To what? The key word here. You see the seek here? I said the first level is what? Ask. The second level is what? Seek. On the basis of what? Friendship. Do you see the word? What did he use? To seek. By prayer and what? Supplications. With fasting and sackcloth and what? Answers. There was a promise God made to the people of Israel through the prophet. After 70 years. When Daniel saw that it was time that something must be done, he went to find and said, by understanding, I got this through what? The word of God. What are the promises that God has made that you can stand on to intercede for somebody? So every aspect of prayer that we approach God, the level, there is a place of the word of God. Now, the language, quickly. It should be more of a plea. Seeking God to do something for another person. That is all. We plea. P-L-E-A. So in this way, we plea. You see, and all of these people, you saw that they plead their case. They plea. The word plea here is beg. Do you understand? You are begging. So you come here as somebody who is here to beg. Consistent. Oh, please, I beg. On this basis, we beg. On this basis, we beg. Finally, approaching God as a judge. We have a lot to do in this concept, so I don't want to leave some of the things and come back to them. I just want to quickly finish. Now, when we want to approach God as a judge, this is a level of the knocking. And this is one of the dimensions of prayer that many believers do not know or misunderstood or have manhandled it. One thing you have to understand about this level of prayer, that it requires maturity to execute it well. This is because approaching God as a judge also means bringing a matter before a court of heaven to demand justice. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 22 to 24. Approaching God as a judge simply means bringing a matter before the court of what? Heavens. To demand what? Justice. So this is a different ballgame. But ye are come unto what? Mount what? Zion. Now let's look at the description of Mount Zion. Unto the city of what? The living God. And the heavenly what? Jerusalem. And to what? An innumerable company of what? Angels. Let's move. To the general assembly of what? The church, the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And to God, the what? The judge of what? So at Mount Zion, God is what? Judge. Number two, eh? And to spirit of what? Just men made what? Perfect. Continue. And to Jesus, who is he? The mediator of what? The new covenant. Or the new what? Law. He's a mediator. That is what? A lawyer. And to the blood of sprinkling. That speaketh better things than the blood. This is an evidence. Token of what? Evidence. That is at court. Court will deal with what? Evidence. Move on. As you can see, there's a point where you approach God. He ought to do as a judge. Why do we approach God in this, in that level of prayer? Because in that level of prayer, what we are dealing with is matters of what? Timeline destiny. And what is at stake in that level of prayer has to do with your rights and privileges.
There's what we call your timeline destiny, and you have your eternity destiny. Timeline destiny, we are talking about within this scope of earth, time, your destiny. You have to approach God as a judge in some cases to make sure that you are able to contend for what? Your right and what? Your privileges. We will talk a lot about these ones, but I just wanted to expose to you. Now, what is the posture that you assume when you are approaching God in this one? The posture number one is that you must come as somebody who is to prosecute or defend a matter to secure a verdict and enforce it. When you approach God here, it's not about coming to complain. You must come as somebody who is ready to prosecute or defend to secure a verdict in your favor that you are going to enforce. At this place, you approach God as the Melchizedek priest. So I hear you don't complain. Here you come with evidence, with facts, with the standing of the law. Yeah, you don't come and share tears. Tears will not bail you from court. Are you there? Number two. The second posture is you come as somebody who is, how should I put it? Somebody who knows what is about, have understanding of the nature of what is at hand. Never go to court, ask God to prosecute or give you a verdict over a matter when you have no understanding of what you are doing. Can I give an example in the Bible? Remember the sons of Sceva? Do you remember them? Remember them? This is what happened to them. They went to deal with a matter that was a matter of what? Legal issue. Because spirits are legally or conscious about their territory. Territories are boundaries are checked by what? Legal matters. Are you following me? So these spirits were living in this very being by a legal authority. Then these people went and came with a verdict. Do you know the verdict? Jesus said, at my name they shall cast out what? Oh, church, at my name they shall cast out what? So they came with a verdict. But the question, did they have the capacity to execute that verdict? And the Bible said, instead of them casting out the demon actually casted things out of them. With beatings that cannot be uttered. Many Christians have become victims, have suffered as a result of ignorance about how matters are dealt with when God is a judge. So when you approach God, number one, you must come with a mindset as a prosecutor or somebody is here to defend a matter. That is why at this point, it's a level that is handled by mature people. These kind of prayers are not prayer on a daily basis. They come as a situation. When the situation rises, that is when they become needful. At this point, God will be there as a judge. He cannot do anything until you are able to prove by law and by fact that you deserve or the verdict must be in your favor. Quickly, the place of the Bible in this place. The Bible here is a legal document. The Bible here, or the word of God in this matter, in this approach to God, is a legal document, an activated deal or a constitution that is enforced. That's why we call it testament. So when you approach God as a judge, you must know that you approach Him on the verdict of what the constitution is saying, or what is contained in the deed that He has secured for you. Are we there? I skip one of the posture, is the attitude of persistency. Because of time, I skipped it. Add it. When you approach God in this one, you are come with an attitude of persistency. This one is not repetition, but you are persistent. Do you understand the word persistent? You are standing your ground until you see what must be done. The Bible said, the judge said, I fear no God. Neither do I fear man, but because of the persistency of this woman. When you go to God as a judge, you must be persistent. You must say that until this is done, I'm not giving up.
This is where the point you say that pray until something happens. It is in this matter that we make those kind of statements. Pray until something what? It is when we pray and make sure that until the verdict is on in our favor, we back not off. So you must come in that posture that, Lord, this matter, I am not, until you speak. That is what Hannah did. Hannah was held from giving birth. He came before God, sat before God. He said, Lord, this matter, we have to resolve it before I go. I pray for you. Many people are not persistent in demanding their rights and privileges. Many people are not persistent. They don't stand firm to make sure that whatever is at stake, they will take every right and do everything to make sure it is done. The devil is not somebody who fights and give up early. If you're not persistent, you overturn it. Until you see the victory, don't stop praying. Some of you can see that there's a pattern of a bloodline. When you come into the types of prayer, one of these resolving spiritual conflicts. You see that there's a pattern of the bloodline. It can be sickness or anything. And that you have to be persistent. Your posture is that this, I am firm. This is where I'm standing. My persistence is that I am standing here. I'll continue saying what I'm saying. That I deserve it. It is my right. I make claims. It is out of that. The Bible said the judge will speedily speak in your favor and give you verdict. So I said the place of the word of God here is what? A legal document, which is an activated deed or a constitution that has been passed into law. We can't read scriptures, but I'll give you a scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 to 18. Revelations 5, 12. The language here that we use in terms of approaching God here is that we are legalistic. Now, I'm using the word approaching God, not because we are praying to God, but this matter, we have brought the matter before God that we will take verdict and enforce it ourselves. That's why it's a kind of prayer that we pray in Jesus' name. Whatever you ask my name, I reward. I'll do it. We go for verdict and we enforce it. I pray for you. I believe that God wants us to benefit from prayer anytime we approach Him. God wants us to because prayer was what He instituted as a way through which dominion can be exercised. That whatever He wants man to be on this earth realm, prayer will be an instrumental tool in delivery. It's my prayer for you. That anytime you sit up, you stand up, you move, whatever you do, you begin to pray. That prayer will be very efficient and effective. In the mighty name of Jesus. Especially I pray for you. That you will take no thought anytime you approach God as a father. We are living in times and seasons where it seems like the believer is not benefiting as a child from God. You see a believer complaining and it sounds like God is not there. But our God is faithful. I pray for you that whenever you approach God on the basis of a father, whatever you ask, you shall receive. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall what? Find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I pray that starting from today, you have the right posture before God. And there are prayers we have to start praying for the nation Ghana. No one can make Ghana better than us when we start to pray. And therefore, this God said to the people of Israel, pray for the prosperity of the nation that has sent you. For in that prosperity, you shall prosper. I pray that we can be able to negotiate with God on His terms, on what He has said concerning Ghana. Do you know that by prophecy, God said that He is going to use Ghana as a nation of a revival? Oh, Radimako Shabra Sanda. There's a prophecy over Ghana, and it has to come to pass that Ghana will be a nation of prosperity. We are the star of Africa, and the star must shine so bright, and nothing can hinder it. I pray that out of compassion and love, when you stand before God, you shall remind God of His covenant with Ghana. You shall remind God of His promises concerning the nation. What about your family? You remind Him the things He has said about your family. I pray for you that when you approach Him as a judge, you will take a stand and defend your cause, and prosecute the enemy that stand between you and where God is taking you. Shall you rise to your feet? God is our Father. He's our friend and our judge. This is one of the things we have that others don't have. I want you to lift up your voice. Today we are just going to pray one prayer. Out of thanksgiving. We want to tell Father that whatever you need to give me this.
Just breathe the name upon me.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.